Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Sudhir Small Finance Bank Limited Q4 and FY23 Results and Future Outlook Conference Call hosted by Centrum Broking Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shailesh Kanani from Centrum Broking Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Nirav. Good morning, everyone. On behalf of Centrum Broking, I welcome all to the fourth quarter and FY23 earnings call of Sudhir Small Finance Bank. We have with us top management team of Sudhir, represented by MD CEO Mr. Bhaskar Babu, Chief Service Officer Mr. Narayan Rao, CFO Mr. Kanishka Chaudhary, and IR Head Mr. Himadri Das. With this brief introduction, I hand over the floor to the management team of Sudhir. They will start with a brief overview on the results, after which we will move on to the Q&A session. Over to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Shailesh. Good morning, everybody. On behalf of Sudhir Small Finance Bank, I extend a warm welcome to our Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. I and our management team are present here. I trust that everyone has had the opportunity to review the presentation for the quarter and the year ending March 31st, 2023, which was uploaded on the stock exchanges. Now, let me provide an overview of the overall economy, followed by the industry landscape, and finally, Sudhir's performance for Q4 and FY23. Despite a slowing global economy, domestic economic activity in India continues to demonstrate resilience. However, both globally and in India, inflation has remained elevated, posing a significant challenge. Monetary policy continues to prioritize the gradual alignment of inflation with the targeted rate hikes. It's important to be mindful of various risks to both growth and inflation outlook, including geopolitical hostilities, volatility in global financial markets, and the impact of climate shocks. On a global scale, there have been improvements in supply chain in recent months, which is a positive development. However, it is worth noting that the banking turmoil in the United States and Europe, coupled with concerns surrounding financial stability, created substantial turbulence in the global financial markets in March. These events highlighted the interconnectedness and vulnerability of the global financial system. The banking industry has been grappling with various challenges. However, the initiatives of the government and the RBI to address some of these pressing issues provide rays of hope for the industry, indicating a commitment to strengthening the banking ecosystem and fostering a healthier financial environment. Now, turning to our operational and financial performance, we are delighted to announce that Sudhir has achieved steady and remarkable results in FY23. Our inclusive finance and related lines of business have demonstrated a remarkable recovery, nearly reaching the pre-COVID growth levels. This achievement showcases the resilience and the adaptability of our organization in navigating challenging times. During FY23, the bank's gross advances reached an amount of 6,114 crores, representing an increase of 20.7% compared to 5,063 crores in FY22. If adjusted for the ARC, the gross advances for the year would have been 6,541 crores, registering a growth of 29.2%. The disbursement increased by 44.1% to 5,083 crores, up from 3,528 crores during the same period last year. Alongside this growth in disbursement, our customer base has also witnessed a substantial growth. As of FY23, Sudhir Bank only serves approximately 23.1 lakh customers, marking an increase of 19.9% compared to the previous year. This significant growth in our customer base signifies the success of our customer-centric approach and our ability to meet their evolving financial needs. In terms of profitability, Sudhir Bank has achieved a turnaround. They reported a profit of 77.7 crores in FY23 as against the loss of rupees 93 crores in FY22. This recovery reflects our concerted efforts to enhance operational efficiency, optimize our asset quality, and improve overall financial performance. Now, let me shed some light on the key operational and financial metrics of FY23, providing a comprehensive overview of our accomplishments and the factors driving our success. On the business performance, our disbursements grew by 44.1% in FY23 on a year-on-year basis, indicating strong momentum across businesses on the ground. Due to healthy on-ground demand, disbursement activities have regained momentum and reached the pre-COVID levels. The bank has also witnessed a substantial increase in retail asset disbursement, which grew by 72.8% at rupees 1,580 crores. Our collection efficiency is improving steadily on the back of business and the economy nearing pre-COVID levels. The overall collection efficiency for our bank stood at 102.2%. On gross advances, the bank's gross advances in FY23 crossed the rupees 6,000 crore mark, with Vikas Loan portfolio crossing the rupees 1,200 crore mark. Vikas Loan, the bank's flagship product in the unsecured business loan offering, to offer to the existing graduating JLG customers on the back of increased government impetus for nurturing MSME growth. Consequently, the AUM of the Vikas Loan grew to rupees 1,232 crores in FY23 from rupees 213 crores as of FY22, while the customer base for the same grew by 2.5 times to 1.919 lakh customers. The bank's gross advances stood at rupees 6,114 crores as compared to rupees 5,063 crores in FY22, an increase of 20.7% year-on-year. On the deposits and borrowing, our total deposits stood at 5,167 crores as compared to rupees 3,850 crores, registering a strong growth of 34.2% year-on-year. The bank continues to focus on granular retail deposits. Our borrowings at the end of March 2023 form 28% of our total liabilities, the majority of which is from refinancing institutions. We have currently a network of 537 branches, of which 95 branches are liability-focused, while 384 branches are asset-focused, and the balance comprises of rural outlets. On our asset quality, the bank has seen significant improvement in gross non-performing assets, which reduced to 3.1% in FY23 from 11.8% in FY22, and the net non-performing assets, which decreased to 1.5% in FY23 from 5.9% in FY22. The bank is targeting a GNP of less than 2% and NNPA of less than 0.4% in the coming financial year, FY24. On our earnings side, net interest income stood at rupees 746.6 crores as compared to 584.5 crores, an increase of 27.7% year-on-year. Our net total income stood at rupees 844 crores as compared to rupees 678 crores, an increase of 24.5% year-on-year. Our yield improved to 19.3% in FY23 from 18.2% in FY22, while our NIM improved to 9.5% in FY23 compared to 8.6% in FY22. Despite the rising interest rate scenario, our cost of funds reduced to 6.7% compared to 7% in the corresponding period last year. Our cost to income currently stands at 60% as compared to 60.9% in FY22. We continue to be remaining well capitalized. Our capital adequacy ratio of our bank currently stands at 33.7%, Tier 1 comprising 30.8% and Tier 2 comprising 2.9%. Finally, to summarize, we envisage multiple tailwinds that will enable the bank to scale up at a faster pace. We have identified key focus areas which will act as a catalyst for growth in FY24. The bank aims to focus on growing gross advances by 30% approximately, deposits by 35%, achieving a return on assets of 2.2% and a return of equity of 15% in the coming financial year. Operationally, our key focus areas include product diversification, maintaining GNPA level below 2% and net NPA level below 0.5%, leveraging digital initiatives across multiple apps, taking CGFMU cover for JLG and Vikas Loan, building a very strong Vikas Loan book of rupees 2,000 crores, and expanding our branch network. Thank you. Over to you for questions.
Thank you very much. We'll now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Nitin Agarwal from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hey, hi, good morning, everyone. Congratulations on a good quarter. A few questions I have. So first is on the GNPA. We have seen very sharp reduction in GNPA during FY23 from 12% to 3%. And now the gross GNPAs have come down to 190 odd crores, which includes some bit of ECLGS also. So if you can talk about like what is the unprovided exposure that we are left with, and also if you can give us some sense on the performance of the ARC book, how do you see that going forward?
Sure. So thanks for the question and good morning. So on the unprovided part of the book, you know, net of ECLGS and the provision that we are carrying, it's around 35 odd crores. This is something that we will cover over the next one quarter. Insofar as the ARC book is concerned, the cumulative valuation of the book on a 100% basis was 135 crores. And till March, we have made a collection about 40-odd crores, which is 10 crores a month. This is in line with our expectation. Even though the trust has been set up for a period of 5 years as per regulation, our expectation is that we will be able to redeem the entire ARC portfolio by the end of the next financial year.
Right. And secondly, on the profitability, we have seen sequentially earnings moving up, and we ended the year with a 38 crore profit in Q4. So can we take this exit ROA and ROE for Q4 as a baseline going into FY24? How do you see,
yes,
how do you see the like ROAs, ROEs moving from here?
Yes, indeed. That is the baseline for us to begin with. So we delivered around 38 crores, right, for the quarter, and that's where we start. On a ROA, ROE basis, as we have guided, we would be targeting to inch up our ROA to around 2.25 and ROE of 15%. That's what we will be working as a bank for the next year.
Okay. And lastly, on the growth part, we have seen good pickup on the disbursement growth, and same has come up to 33% in Q4. So what is like the level that we are targeting now in our MFI business in the next few quarters, and how do you really see the mix of inclusive finance and the retail assets moving going forward?
Okay. Do you want to on the growth in disbursement?
Yeah. So what we're really currently clocking is around approximately around 350 to 400 crores in inclusive finance, 50% of that coming from Vikas loan. The intent is to really grow the Vikas loan portfolio from currently 2 lakh customers with an average outstanding of approximately around 60,000 rupees at this point of time, which will broadly remain the same, probably give and take 10,000 rupees on the higher side. So we're likely to end up with around 4 lakh customers of Vikas loan, which is a key focus area. And we also covered that under our rate guarantee scheme of CGMFU, FMU, which broadly covers the substantial risk that could ever emanate from the portfolio even in a one-off circumstance. On the retail asset growth, we are focusing in terms of mortgages, which is currently clocking around 50 to 60 crores per month on an average. And the book stands currently at 1,000 crores approximately, which is likely to inch up to around approximately 1,700 to 1,800 crores at the end of the financial year. Commercial vehicle, where we are clocking around 40 crores of disbursements per month, likely to go up at an exit rate of closer to 75 crores at the end of the year. And the portfolio likely to increase from 400 crores to approximately around 750 to 800 crores at the end of the current financial year. We are likely to see a mix of around 55% for inclusive finance, not necessarily by slowing down the growth in inclusive finance, but by a substantial higher growth and the long-term assets in terms of the retail assets portfolio. So the mix may tilt closer to 57-55% at the end of the financial year in terms of non-inclusive finance assets.
Sure. And just related to this, if I can ask one more question. Like now that we are focusing more on the retail assets, our mix of mortgages and the Vikas loan is going up. So how do you really see the impact of all of this on your OPEX and the cost income ratios?
I think the idea is to be able to build an operating leverage. So this was the year when we invested. We see some more investments coming through, especially in terms of expanding our branch network and increasing the feet on street for some of our retail businesses like mortgage and CV. So I think given that we will have two engines, so to speak. One is the Vikas loan, which has the premium attached to it in terms of pricing. That will be marginally offset with the kind of growth we expect in retail assets. So overall, for the next year, we will hold on to the kind of margins that we are having today. The idea is that whatever compression in margins that we may have overall will be more than offset by the reduction in the credit costs in the portfolio.
Right. Thank you so much, and wish you all the best.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Piyush Chadha from Serendip Trading. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thanks for a great set of numbers. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, you can.
Okay. Just wanted to do some housekeeping around the numbers. So for March, we said we had a 37.5 crore PPOP. Would it be reasonable to expect that the run rate of PPOP would be slightly better than this in the coming year, leading to a PPOP of around 500 crores for the year?
Yes, I mean, on a full year basis, that's what we are targeting. Our first toll gate will be Q1, where we expect to go a little over 100 and then pick up from there. But on a full year basis, we are looking at a 500 crore number.
Sure. And in terms of credit costs, what would be our normalized credit cost? Would it be around 1 to 1.5% per year?
Yeah, I mean, now that we have been able to clean up the book and all, we would expect to be closer to 1% in credit costs, not taking into account the previous year.
Sure. And in terms of the current NPA book, would we still need another 30-40 crores of provisioning before we are at a normalized run rate for NPAs? Would that be accurate?
No, there is some uncovered, unprovided for book of 35 odd crores, like we mentioned in response to the first query. So we would want to get that covered by end of Q1. But at the same time, we are also looking at a recovery target from NPA and the write-off pool. So
sure.
I think we will be able to offset the two.
Great. Thank you so much. This is wonderful.
Yeah.
Just one last query around your deposit activities. We've typically seen the small finance banks that try and use their asset branches for deposit gathering don't meet with great success. I mean, the markets for asset growth and deposit taking tend to be different. How are you planning to solve this problem? Because otherwise it becomes a huge cost issue.
So this was a year of reset for us. But now that we are looking at expansion for this year, especially we intend to have a branch expansion of around 80 to 90, of which half of it will come from, conversion of the asset branches into multi-product branches, selling both assets and deposits.
So Piyush, while to the fact that asset branches probably have not been as successful, what we were worked on, which had worked out pretty good, is in terms of making it composite branches, which means there is a team which is focused on deposits operating out of the same branch and focusing only on liabilities, and there is a set team which focuses only on the assets. So to that extent, they don't really target exactly only the asset customer, but operate out of the location which are more asset focused.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Dhruv Shah from Ambika FinCap. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a really strong set of numbers. I have two questions. One is on your collection front. So how is our collection shaping up? I can see your collection efficiency has gone up to 102%, but how is it now shaping up?
We have given the collection efficiency both in terms of the pre-June 21 portfolio and post-June 21 portfolio. We see a substantial normalization closer to 98% in the IF book and closer to around 97% in the non-IF book. We still have focusing in terms of whatever is the pre-June 21. Quite a bit of that has flown obviously into GNPA, which the efforts are on to really recover back. But the residue left is very, very marginal at this point of time. We see that overall on the basis of the overall portfolio moving to closer to around 98 to 99%, starting from Q2.
And sir, the other question I had, is there any room for further NIMS expansion? I understand that, before I alluded that you will maintain your margins, but is there any room to improve on NIMS? We have seen quarter-on-quarter improvement to 10.5%, but is there further room to improve that?
So, one thing to note is that for the full financial year, we haven't really raised our rates in fixed income products, especially in terms of finance. Right, but given that the rates have been going up and our deposit rates have also gone up in the last two quarters, that's something that we would want to review end of Q1. Our target is that we are able to maintain a 10% margin NIM on an overall portfolio basis.
Right, understood. Just a last question on your portfolio diversification. Are we planning to expand in any other state? Because if I can see quarter on quarter, the Maharashtra percentage is still around 40%. Do we intend to bring it down to some closer to 30%, or are we comfortable Maharashtra being 40% of our total advances?
We don't have any specific plan in terms of reducing the portfolio in Maharashtra. It is stabilized and improvising. But the entry into other few states, as well as acceleration in terms of branches in states like Karnataka, Gujarat, and Madhya Pradesh, will reduce necessarily this percentage from 40% to closer to 30% over the next 12 to 18 months, specifically in the inclusive finance portfolio.
Right. Understood. Okay. Great. And all the best for future quarters. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Amit Garg. Please.
Good morning, sir. First of all, congrats for the wonderful quarterly performance. Though some of the questions have already been answered, I just wanted to understand which are the regions that are expected to drive our retail AUM growth. Any specific focus regions that you are intending to?
Switch. So, in as things stand today, there are a few states we would like to expand to, especially in CV. So, CV, for example, we would want to focus in the southern states and going into Andhra. For mortgage, we will continue our focus in north, where we started our businesses about a year back in Delhi and the surrounding regions. But at the same time, we have seen good prospects from Maharashtra, MP as well as Gujarat. And these are the states that we would want to continue growing on. As far as South is concerned, two states that we would like to have our presence in is essentially Andhra and Kerala.
Okay. I think that's from my side. All the best to the team for the quarters to come.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Rajgopal Ramanathan, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Am I audible, sir?
Yes.
Yes, Mr. Rajgopal.
Thank you. Thank you. Great delivery on numbers. And as we spoke roughly 3 quarters back, I think your entire team has been able to execute your strategy quite well. So kudos on that. A couple of questions here. The first question is, do you have aspirations to become a full-fledged universal bank over the next 3-5 years or so, or maybe longer? And if you are thinking about that, is there any specific roadmap that you have? That's the first question. Second is actually linked to your distribution, particularly the branches and deposit growth. So what is your longer-term aspiration in terms of deposit growth over maybe the next 5-7 years? Are you sort of expecting to clock at least at 25% CAGR over the next 5-7 years. The last question that I have is linked to an observation that you made on the Vikas loan. Could you explain the guarantee mechanism that is there for the Vikas loan product that you have? Thank you very much.
Sure. Yeah. So, Mr. Rajgopal, on the Universal Bank, we are clearly now focused in terms of building a very, very strong small finance bank platform. Currently, do we have an immediate plan? The answer is no. Will it evolve? Yes, I think it will be a logical progression for any small finance bank to become a universal bank at the point of time. It will certainly not in the next 2 years. The next 2 years, our intent is to really bring a very strong financial inclusion player. So technically, a small finance bank can do all that a universal bank can do, except for two conditions predominantly, which is one, 50% of a portfolio has to be for rupees 25 lakhs and below, which we are, I mean, we will be in this range year after next and even probably 2 years from now on. The other one is that 75% of a book has to be PSL, which we are very comfortable. In fact, we are surplus at all points of time that we sell PSLC. So and on the Forex side, small finance banks have been allowed to become AD1 bank. So to that extent, there is not big constraint in terms of being a small finance bank. Universal bank. But our aspiration would be that, but these are in the next 1-2 years, no, we are solidly focused in terms of building a very strong small finance bank platform at this point of time. And in terms of our deposit growth, given our base is low. Our focus always has been in terms of going aggressive in the retail segment, fully retail granular deposits. We've been fairly successful under it. At one point, it went to as close as 80% retail. Currently, we're hovering at around 70-75%. The intent is to go back to 80%, and we do with an expansion in branches and through some of the digital acquisition, we are fairly confident that we'll be able to clock a 35% growth for FY24. And thereafter, we'll obviously at the end of FY24, we'll look at it, but around 25% looks to be pretty comfortable. The challenge, though, has been in terms of acquiring the real retail CASA deposit. We did really miss that in the last year. In this coming year, the intent is really go to closer to 22% of CASA, and specifically within the CASA, more than 80-90% will be granular deposits, which will be broadly be deposits which create a float through the flow. So we are focusing on that. On the other question in terms of Vikas Loan is a specially focused product in terms of graduating JLG customers only for the purpose of business. They need to have a visible, clear business on which they kind of want to really expand. And the loan sizes vary somewhere between 60,000 to up to 1.25 lakh, though broadly the range has been in the 75,000. The CMSM you cover is a little complicated one to really explain, but it covers 75% of the credit losses after an account has become NPA, up to around 15% coming in from the fund and 5%. In a technical sense, at the maximum of around 20% of the portfolio becoming NPA, we will get 75% possibility scenario, 75% from the agency and 5% will be our contribution. This is not being taken for a cover on an ongoing year-on-year basis. As you would know, based on our limited experience, every 4-5 years there is a risk which emanates which makes the portfolio losses higher than 3-4%. This is to make sure that we have solid predictability in terms of covering ourselves with CGMFU. There is a cost attached to it. We are looking at the cost as an investment rather than as a cost, more as an insurance, and it will really be useful in one-off events ever if it had to happen. But gives us a focus under stability and almost a safety net in terms of looking at the segment far more, not would say aggressively, but far more intensely than otherwise. Thank you.
Okay. And as far as the distribution aspirations are concerned, how would that likely to play out over the next 5 years? So you are currently at what's your branch presence? The liability branches are around 300 numbers, right?
No, so pure liability focused branches are a little over 90. We want to double that number this year. But in terms of overall liability deposit trajectory, and this is something that we have talked about and guided in the past as well, our ambition is to have a CD rate of 100% by 2025. Okay. So which would mean that from 2025 onwards, our deposits will match the loan book. In addition to that, given the kind of investment that we are making in leadership as well as the franchise, we would really want to, come closer to our peers in terms of the CASA ratio. It's today 17%. We would target somewhere around 20-22% for next year and then creeping up to 25%.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Have a good day.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. Next question is from the line of Renish from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. And congrats on great set of numbers. So just three things from my side. One on the clarification. In our press release, we have mentioned that our one EMI adjusted collection efficiency is 96.5. So this is the including gross NPA pool or this is excluding the gross NPA pool?
No, it includes the NPA pool as well as the book that got built up to June 2021. If you look at the book which we built after June 2021, our collection efficiency, one EMI adjusted, is 98%.
Just to clarify, it includes all the book.
Yeah. Okay, got it. So in nutshell, I think collection is any which way is close to 100%. I mean, given our gross NPA is close to 3%.
Yeah.
Got it. Secondly, in terms of the ROA guidance of 2.2% versus Q4 ROA at 1.8. So fair to assume that the exit ROA, Q4 next year will be higher than 2.2? Because the guidance which you have given is for the full year. So
Yeah, correct. No, clearly, yes, we would want to be in the range of, you know, anywhere between 2.7%-3%. Our long-time objective is that we are able to have a steady state ROE of around 4% and thereabout, which will take us anywhere between 18 months to 24 months to accomplish.
Got it, got it. So Q4 will be, let's say, would be definitely more than 2.2.
Absolutely. It will be,
Okay.
yeah, 2.6 to 2, between 2.6 and 3.
Got it. And just the last question on the yield side. So what are the lending rate hikes we have took in MFI book since the new guidelines?
No, so we haven't actually had any rate revisions in our MFI book, even though, you know, like I said, that for the last two quarters, we have seen a hike in deposit rate. I believe we would want to review our pricing on the MFI book after Q1 in terms of any revisions that may be required.
What are our lending rates as of now in MFI?
We do around 24-25% for the JLG book. It's 3% more for Vikas loans.
Okay. So in Vikas loan, it is close to 27-28.
Correct.
Okay. 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 That's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Have a good day, Renish.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Nikhil Vaishnav from Haitong Securities. Please go ahead. Nikhil, may I request you to unmute your line from your side and go ahead with the question, please?
Hello. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Hello.
Yes, Nikhil, we can hear you well.
Yeah. So I have just two data keeping questions. So what is our slippages, recoveries and upgrades and write-off for this quarter?
So, if you look on a gross basis, we had around 55 crores of slippages, and we had around 45 crores of pullbacks. So after the first three quarters, I mean, this is one quarter where on a net basis, we have barely had any kind of NPAs, you know, on a net basis. And we expect the same trend to continue. As a matter of fact, we want to see that by Q2, our recoveries are more than the flow forwards this time.
Okay. And what is our restructuring book for this quarter, like by FY23?
No, so we have, I mean, there's a book of around 100-odd crores that remains of the restructured book. As you would be aware that we did a set of restructuring in December 2021, and after that, all the moratoriums got over in June 22. So the entire book is back to being a built book, and the residual book, like I said, is around 80 to 100 crores.
Okay. And just one last question. In cost of fund, how much rate we have passed on to the customer, and how much we are expecting in FY24?
No, so I think we expect around, if you look at how we have built in our estimates for the next year, we expect around 7.5% to be the cost of fund on an overall basis from where we are today. We have baked in at least two rate hikes of 25 basis points each.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. That's one for my end.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankur Kumar from Alpha Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congrats. Very good set of numbers. Sir, most of my questions have been answered. Just wanted to check on cost-to-income ratio. So it has come down quite well in this quarter. What kind of trend do you expect for the coming year?
So, you know, thanks for that. On a full year basis, we expect our cost-to-income ratio, that one that we are working on, to be around 57% and thereabouts. Our medium-term objective is that we are able to reach a 55% number. And we would also like to highlight that the 57% CTI that we are talking about includes the 1% premium that we pay for CGFMU insurance, which we expect to be around 40-45 crores. So that's what we are targeting for the next 12 months. Medium term, we would want to have a CTI of around 55%.
Got it. And sir, on our NNPA and GNPA, so our guidance is less than 2% and less than 0.5%. So that will mean, as in, we will need to increase our PCR in the coming year. So you are saying that in Q1 we will see an increase in PCR and then we will expect steady state. Is how should we look at it?
Yes, you will definitely see an increase in the PCR in Q1 and Q2. Then a PCR of somewhere around 90% plus.
90%.
Yeah.
Got it, sir. And sir, on advance growth, so we are expecting 30% growth. So can you bifurcate as in which segments will do and how is the MFI situation? Are the things doing on the ground?
So I would say that in terms of headline numbers, we would want our inclusive finance portfolio to be around 5,000 crores, right? And insofar as retail asset is concerned, we would want to be able to grow up with by around 35%-40%, growing a little over 3,000 crores for the retail asset portfolio overall.
And how is the situation on the ground, as in, except for like COVID, etc., worries, things are looking good?
I think we have some work still to do in Maharashtra, where we have been careful in doing new business. But insofar as the other states are concerned, we have seen a turnaround and things more or less back to normal.
Got it, sir. Thank you, Anand.
Yeah.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from the line of Twinkle Kathuria from Centrum Capital Limited. Please go ahead.
Hello. Good morning, sir. Congratulations on the wonderful results. My question is, what is the growth driver for MFI AUM that would be expecting for FY24? Hello.
Yeah. So we currently have a customer base of around approximately around good, very good customer base of 14 lakh customers. So there is approximately another 10 lakh customers who have been with us, very good in the market based on the data scrubs that we have, who have exited us, probably they need a loan or during COVID period. So the base which we're targeting for Vikasstone at this point of time is approximately 5 lakh to 6 lakh customers. The overall targeted for the existing and the customers who exited recently in the last 1 year is approximately 20 lakhs. So the drivers would be in terms of on the back of customers either who are with us at this point of time and very good, both through the COVID 1 and COVID 2, or customers who are very good in the market, not borrowed from us or not borrowed from anybody else. And that's another 10 lakh customers. So that's the pool. Other than that, we're also putting up around closer to 18 new branches. Predominantly in the states, we're already present, but not deep in our presence like Karnataka, Gujarat, Rajasthan, and some other states. So the combination of this existing customer probably will contribute to the growth of 25% indicated by KC. 80% will come from existing customers and 20% will be coming from new to bank customers from the new branches.
Thank you, sir. That answers my question.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Pratik Kumar, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning and congratulations on a great set of results.
Thank you.
I have two questions. Just to clarify, we're talking of a 35 crore overall uncovered exposure on an AUM base of north of 6,000 crores. That's roughly around 50 basis points of AUM, if you could just confirm that. And secondly, just wanted to understand how are the collections trending on our post-COVID book in the inclusive finance and in the retail assets?
Yeah, so yes, you are right in your understanding. So adjusted for the provision we are carrying in the ACLGS book, it's around 0.5% of uncovered bad book that we are talking about. Insofar as collections is concerned, it's around 98% plus. We have some amount of work to do in the retail assets in being able to pull back some of the NPAs that we have seen in the second half of the year. And that's what we are focusing on for this quarter. But on an overall basis, like I said, 98% C is what we are having today.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for the clarification.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question is from line of Chetan Garodia, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for the opportunity. Sir, I had two questions. The first one is, what percent of our bulk deposits are non-callable? And second is, we had a negative impact of around 11 crore on treasury in this quarter. So what's the outlook in the next year and the quarters ahead? Thank you.
Hey, hi. Thanks for that. So, you know, almost all of our entire book on the bulk deposits is non-callable because that's what we primarily do, right? 99% plus is the number. Insofar as, you know, mark-to-market is concerned, yes, we have seen, we expect the rates to rise at least in the near term. And for that reason, what we have done is that in our investment book, the G-Secs are something that we have restricted to the hold-to-maturity part of the portfolio. And insofar as the AFS portfolio is concerned, we are essentially holding only treasury bills to ensure that the mark-to-market, if any, is minimized. And that will continue to be our strategy for this year as well.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yep.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Pranav Singh, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, thank you, and congratulations for the great set of numbers. My question is regarding Vikas loans. You know, on these loans, people, on such loans, there are people who are charging even much higher than 30% interest rates. So these loans can give us more profits during good times, but during bad times, it is possible that the defaults are higher also. So credit screening becomes very important. If you could share, give us some insights on how you do it, that would be great.
You know, what we do is we are all graduating customers who have been with us for a minimum period of at least 1.5 years with a clear visible business and done both through physical verification, which we use an app called Sarthi app, where we capture the details of the customer and their household, not just the customer, and also capture the photograph of the customer household from outside as well as the business location. And of course, the 60% operate businesses from between their residences or just outside the residence. And around 40 to 40% have got a clear separate business line. The very fact that it's rightly alluded to is that there is always risk in the segment because, however, these customers that have been with us have a demonstrated business line which generates income. And most of the Vikas loan customers at this point of time have a minimum of two incomes in the household, which is either the spouse or the lady of the household who is a borrower or their son or a daughter. So given that, while we also have majority higher loans, we kind of insist in terms of the funding only to customers who have got a permanent residence, that is, have been there for a very long time, and in many cases, they own the place. The very reason that we are not really want to increase the pricing in that is that we want to rather cover ourselves with a CGFMU cover, which I explained earlier, covers up to around 20% of the credit losses, got whatever is to happen, and we get 70% of that. The intent is to really, can we build a strong base of this customer, not just for unsecured business loan, for a period of time for small ticket LAP as we are introducing, and also for micro home loans or a proper home loan, which could be in the range of around 15-20 lakhs. These are aspirational, low-income households in the path to really become a lower middle class or middle class. So we are very focused. We don't just do it as a distribution business. We understand the customer, we underwrite them digitally and centrally, though we need them before. And the intent is to really, can we really create a line where the customer can have access to loans, and as we kind of working in terms of not even 27% for, you know, inch it lower for very good customer in the second cycle of the customer and third cycle.
Thank you so much. Just a follow-up question. So when I look at FY22 and FY23, it seems that group loans have gone down from about 3,100 crores to 2,500 crores, and Vikas loans have really scaled up. So could you share your views and how you want to grow group loans versus Vikas loans in future, your thoughts about that?
Yeah. The way we are looking at is that customers coming to the JSD would like to graduate. They would like to be assessed for what they are capable of repayment, as well as their own aspiration and their requirement. And the experiment, while it has scaled up from 200 to 1,200 crores, it's actually a four-year product for us, We tested it small. We didn't really want to rush in before we understood. And then finally, kind of one of the mechanisms we came out with, since all the customers have a banking account with us, the entire repayment is through debiting, through the standing instruction mode, SI mode. And since we know what the balances are in the account, we match them to kind of put in the balance even before we hit the standing instruction on the due date. And our coverage has been around close to 90% of the customers do transfer the money well before the due date, and hence 90% of the EMIs get collected on the first day of our standing instruction being debited in their accounts. And the remaining 9% is when we reach out to them, quite a few of them transfer it to their account, and a very few, probably less to 2 to 3%, we go and collect on our own, just like a JLG loan. So it's a graduating product, so it's the foot in the door for a new customer will be through the JLG in the low income household. Once they have kind of established a track record, we have been nudging them and motivating them to move to Vikas loan. They find it comfortable. We find it very comfortable because they're able to assess the customer on her or her household capability, economic status, and the requirements of the loan. That's why vary somewhere between 60,000 on the lower end to as high as around 1.25 lakhs. We have quite a bit of things to do. It's kind of just about 2 years of scale, and we are very, very conscious of the fact that these are all not businesses where based on 1 or 2 years of our own experience we can scale it. So we'll grow probably around 30-35%, but mostly it is the customers with established track record with no default to anybody, not even just us, to anybody in the market. So which means that they are well-seasoned, well-disciplined in terms of credit, and we can often take a call on them. Thank you.
So the last question, do you have in mind a proportion of group loans versus Vikas loans in your portfolio, or you'd like to grow them both at the same rate?
We haven't really put a number to that at this point of time, but the intent is that the customer coming to us is new to bank would be through the JSB, and customers wanting to graduate or motivate them to graduate after 1.5 years and 2 years with us would be through the Vikas loan. So we need both. We need group loans to acquire more and more new customers. We acquire closer to 30,000 new customers every month, which comes through it. And then and as they graduate, they go to Vikas loan. However, we are also contemplating introducing new to bank Vikas loan customers in a very small scale in the Q2. Which would be people who have got demonstrated track record for more than 3 years with others, but not necessarily with us. They are new to bank, but with an established credit track record, we will experiment in terms of very small scale in terms of new to bank as well in Q2.
Thank you so much. All my questions have been answered. Best of luck.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Next follow-up question is from the line of Chetan. Individual investor, please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the follow-up opportunity again. I had a question on around the Vikas loan. So the presentation mentions that around 69% of our Vikas loans are covered under the credit insurance policy. So is that because of the size of the loans that only 69% are covered? That's my first question. And second question is that, as you mentioned, that 75% of the amount under Vikas loans is covered. So how would be the provisions accounted going forward when Vikas loan turns back? Thank you.
Sure. You know, so the amount of portfolio that we cover under the credit guarantee scheme depends on a few factors, including the residual tenor, right? So something that has less than 6 months tenor and have been consistently paying, we may choose not to insure the same. On the other side, if you look at the provisioning part of it, as things stand today, we do standard provisioning for all our unsecured loans in accordance with the IRAC guidelines of RBI. But as a management, what we would ideally want to be doing is to, you know, make counter-cyclical provisions for our unsecured book over a period of time. We have done about 0.5% of the unsecured book as counter-cyclical provision this quarter, and we would want to take that number gradually up on a quarter-on-quarter basis.
Understand, sir. Going forward, apart from the standard set provision, for Vikas loans, since the coverage is 75%, as I understand from one of the previous answers, would that mean that we would have to provide to the rest 25% of the loan amount when it turns GNPA, or we would have to cover more of it?
No. So, IRAC circulars require us to make a 25% provision when an, unsecured loan account turns NPA. That's what we will have to do as well. But I think as a management strategy, what we would want is that we would want to build a, a contingency or a floating provision, vis-à-vis the secured book that we carry. So what I said was that we made about 0.5% of provision this time around to start with, and we will gradually be making that countercyclical on a quarter-on-quarter basis going forward. We would want to ideally have somewhere between 3%-5% of countercyclical provisions with us at any point in time, over and above the CGFMU insurance cover.
Okay, understand, sir. Thank you very much for answering my questions.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Jagdish Sharma, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Congrats for the great set of numbers. So for the 65 crore provision, so 65 crore provision for ABS, when can we expect the money will be back? When can you guys get us back that money?
This ECS has started getting reimbursement. As of now, approximately around 14 crores of portfolio has been cleared. There is a capacity issue holding it. So 14 crores, 50% has been paid upfront. As we speak, approximately 7.5 crores is what we have recovered. So the flow has been very smooth. As we load, we get 50% of it and 50% of certain point of time. So I would say that probably by September end, we should have uploaded all the data. And technical meaning, we should have got around closer to 25 to 30 crores. And the remaining 30 crores would come in with a gap of around 6 months or 1 year.
Okay, sir. Thank you, sir. That's my question. All the best. All the very best.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I will now hand the conference over to Mr. Shailesh Kanani for closing comments.
Thanks a lot. Suryodev Management, Mr. Bhaskar, would you like to have any closing comments for the quarter?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Thanks, Shailesh. So thank you for all your continued support, and we look forward to be delivering very consistent performance quarter on quarter. The last 2 years have been very challenging, lots of valuable learning. What we look forward is to really maintain consistency across, and for which we would do what that would be required, both in terms of counter-cyclical provisions being very prudent, and however, continue to focus on our inclusive finance customer segment while diversifying into retail assets for a period of time. We look forward to be delivering this on a consistent basis, and we have started giving the guidance of 24, and very confident that we will reach it in a very predictable and consistent manner. Thank you very much for participating. Thank you. Good day.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Centrum Broking Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.